the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is MJ Crowder. And, well, when people hear this program, we'll probably be in brand new studios for real.
Probably. We've been threatening and mentioning and excitedly talking about, and now it really might be. And really might be a possibility when this show airs.
We've been moving desks and computers and electronics and having people work overnight there, hooking things up. And, you know, I want to thank them for doing a great job over there. Dwayne Roberts is our engineer over there and doing a great job. And I do know Marcus's last name, but I can't remember him. Marcus, the Wizard of Computers.
We just call him the Wizard. I just call him Wizard.
Computer Wizardry.
The Wizard, Marcus the Wizard, yes.
But they're doing a great job getting things up and running over there. And we will be operating entirely from there very, very shortly. I mean, literally a matter of days from the time you're hearing this broadcast.
You know what's interesting about finally being in our own digs, Jim, and it's a great segue into what I'm going to ask for, but people can finally come in and visit with us and drop stuff off and pick stuff up, and we'll be in one place all at one time. It's in Castleton, which is pretty central. We are kind of hard to find in Castleton. We're kind of nestled back, kind of off the beaten path.
Kind of a nice little park-like area.
It is. It's we're kind of nestled off the main drag. But once you find us,
once you know the secret,
you'll be able to find us again. And you know, I think it bears repeating that we've talked about this also coming up. But our annual dinner is coming up sooner.
Yes.
Sooner than it's been in years past.
Everything is happening early this year. Thanksgiving, I guess, is the same. Last Thursday, like
yes,
it always is.
Yeah.
Christmas is closer to Thanksgiving
that's
than
right.
it usually is, which I don't understand, but I don't worry about that stuff.
Less time to shop. That's all I know. Less time to shop. But our dinner being mid-February instead of mid-April.
Wow.
Our silent auction, that means we start gathering things like now for our silent auction. So if you run a business or you make jewelry out of your home or you do hair or nails or anything.
Knit, crochet. Whatever it
might
be.
Basket weave. Have a little garden center and you would like to donate. We'd love to accept your donations. And we will finally have a little place, 8383 Craig Street, mm-hmm. Where donations for our silent auction can be dropped off. And it's not too soon to talk about it because we really, once the holidays hit, Thanksgiving, Christmas, it's kind of a blur for the next few weeks.
Oh, absolutely. And if you have a business, a restaurant or something, maybe you could donate a couple of dinners to the auction, something like that, or lunches, whatever it might be. Or if you have a retail business or a service business, we can always use anything at all. It's a great way to get some good exposure for your business and help Catholic Radio as well.
And this is going to be a big one. This is our 10-year dinner. So a great speaker, Father Rick Nagel. A lot of people know him, St. John the Evangelist. And the new place, 71st and Keystone Knights of Columbus. I do want to mention one other tidbit that of late we have had some great, wonderful listeners calling in with program suggestions for Faith in Action.
We really have. We used to kind of go from feast to famine. We kind of sometimes scratch our head and wonder, gee, who are we going to have on next week? And it's already Thursday or Friday. And now we've gone to where, gee, we usually have a couple pre-recorded and all ready to go. And that's mainly due to listeners who call in and say, hey, I know somebody that make a great guest. And if you can think of somebody, maybe it's something going on at your parish or your school or within your organization, just give us a call. It's 317-870-8400. And it's extension 21.
And we are going to keep that number. Our guest on Faith in Action today, Andrew Costello. He is the founder of Operation Leftover. God bless you and welcome, Andrew Costello.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you have an interesting initiative, interesting ministry here that I know our listeners will be interested to hear about. But before we get into this, tell us all about you. So your family, your mom and dad, what do you do for a living, parish?
Okay. I was born in Columbus, Ohio, and I lived there for a few years. When my parents got divorced, I moved with my mother up to Michigan and Waterford, Michigan, and we lived there for about 10 years until I was about 23. And then I moved here when I was 23 and got a job with the Social Security Administration. Went to high school in Detroit, went to college at St. Joseph's College up in Rensselaer, about 90 to 100 miles from here. Majored in English. I like writing. I originally wanted to be a sports writer, but I think it was good that I didn't get into that because sports is my hobby. I like running a lot. I ran cross country in college, so it's kind of cool to have, like, my hobby is something I can escape to on a busy day instead of make it my profession. Yeah. So I was really blessed to be a part of the federal government working for Social Security. I work at a call center, and the job is great because we have such a diverse clientele, and each day is just an opportunity to grow in virtue, just dealing with people who may be indigent or who need help or people who need a listening ear, and you got to take it on yourself to be patient and show compassion.
That's good.
And I feel like I'm always being sharpened, and it's great, and you can be Christ to those people in kind of an unlikely place.
Yeah, kind of but you know, bringing it into the workforce, bringing
exactly.
it into everything that we do, I think is what Christ is asking of us. You know, you talked about sports. Do you have a fantasy football league or something like
that? I do. I actually had to change the settings today before lunch. Otherwise, I may not have. I have to get a winning record here.
Okay, but I know nothing about that. I only ask because I have a son who we have family dinners every Sunday, and it seems to me once, maybe twice a year, but at least once a year, he says, "Oh, Mom, I can't make it. I got to do my fantasy football draft or whatever." And I have no idea what that is. But
I actually missed my fantasy draft because I was out of town, but I ended up with Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Packers. So
see, and I don't
know. That's helped me a couple times. Those who follow sports will know who that is. So.
All right, so Operation Leftover, tell us about it, because it's how did it get started? I heard a little bit about it, but I don't know much about it. I just know that you deal with feeding the homeless.
Well, basically, Operation Leftover is kind of an initiative that I started back in May of 2010 to go out and interact with the homeless, not only feed them, but actually feed them with faith, fellowship, and community resource information. On our business card, it says empowering the kingdom of God, and that's what I like to say to folks who say, oh, well, you're enabling them. I say, no, we're empowering them. And how this whole initiative got started was I was at a cookout at the Frassati, at a function put on by the Frassati Young Adult Group up in Carmel,
sure.
With Our Lady of Mount Carmel,
sure.
Great group up there. And we had a lot of food left over, and I made a comment, wow, I wish I could give some of this food to homeless people in Carmel. And some of us who know Carmel is a rather affluent area, and there's probably not going to be a whole bunch of homeless people in Carmel. However, one of my friends stated, well, you should give that food to homeless people in Indianapolis. And I said, you know, that's a great idea. So I took that food up, I refrigerated it, went to Marsh the next day, got a bunch of hamburger buns and Gatorade, and that Friday I took an extended lunch, and then I went out and I distributed the food. My whole goal was to get rid of a whole cooler of food by the end of the day, and I did. And it involved me stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit, kind of asking. It was I put this goal on myself, and I'm always just really driven. And I would just ask random people, hey, do you want a Gatorade? And they're like, yeah, sure. But it was great. I got rid of it, and people really, really appreciated it, the ones who I did see on the street. And I even befriended a few people who I'm still friends with today.
So you just went into places that you said outside your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to bridges and underpasses, overpasses? Or
well, I didn't have enough time to do that. I went down on the circle. If downtown, there's usually some folks standing outside like that Steak and Shake or over by Washington Square Mall. It's dissipated a little bit in the past couple of years, but a couple of years ago there were back in 2010, there was a lot of people out by there.
Panhandlers,
or even just people walking around. You could tell that they had disheveled, their hair was disheveled, or they, you know, had clothing on that looked worn and tattered. And so I just went out and asked them, went out on a limb and, you know, offered a generous thing to them. And they appreciated
it. They took
you
up on
it. Yeah, it was great. And it was good. And the cart was easy. Excuse me. The cooler was easier to carry back on the way. To the work
Okay, so that's place. How you got started, and you thought, okay, I got rid of this over lunch hour.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the impetus for doing this again? I mean, for...
Well, it was, I just really enjoyed it, and then actually I was at Joan of Arc, and in May they had like a parish picnic. So like the next Sunday, there was a function that I like had found out about, and they were going to have leftover food too. I was like, well, let's go and do this again. And it worked out great. And they had, I think, more of a selection, a lot of candy and baked goods. So I handed those out. And people really appreciated it when I distributed the items out again. And that I went to Mass at Joan of Arc at 5:30 that day, the second day that I went out the next week. And one of my good friends, Joe Ravelli, who many people know, a great active parishioner at Joan of Arc, he told me that that's something I should consider as maybe my calling to go out and help people. And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. And it just became a healthy outlet for me. At the time, I was kind of discerning whether or not God was calling me to be a priest. And I think I had a lot of, you know, anxious energy because I wasn't sure, but I, you know, wanted to be obedient to God. And this was a healthy outlet for me to kind of channel that energy to try to help people and make you know, realize that I was building God's kingdom in that way.
We need to take a break and we'll be right back.
This program is made possible by Peyton Manning Children's Hospital at St. Vincent, providing parents with answers to kids' health questions from a registered nurse 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 317-338-KIDS. More information is available at kidshealthline.com. And remember, for answers to kids' health questions 24 hours a day, it's 317-338-KIDS, a service of Peyton Manning Children's Hospital at St. Vincent.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Andrew Costello, Operation Leftover. The first part, we're kind of chatting about how it got started. I have a question for you, though, kind of a tough one.
Sure.
And it's coming from a thoughtful point of view. Over the years, Jim and I have interviewed a lot of people who've kind of, from their kitchen, have taken coolers and gone downtown and fed the homeless, reached out to the homeless. In one way or another, but one kind of sticks in my mind. We had Michael Hurst a couple of years ago from the CHIRP, CHIP, you know, Coalition for the Homeless People, and his idea was that you need to help the infrastructure that actually reaches out to the homeless people. So his point was that if you go down and feed the people that are on the circle or under the underpasses, then they're not going to the shelters that where the money is and where the churches are supporting these places, that you are actually kind of enabling them. And I guess, I don't know if this is a good analogy, but I will, that you're like giving alcohol to an alcoholic. That's a poor analogy, but one that I think people can relate to. So what would you say to that, that people are staying on the streets because you're feeding them?
Well, what I would say to that is at the very essence of what I do is the virtue of generosity. And when you give something to someone, you shouldn't ask questions. That's what St. Francis says, you know, we give and not receive. You know, we give something out of faith to someone thinking that it will help them. And I think with food, it's just easier for me to realize that if I do give a food to someone, I mean, either way, it's going to provide some element of nourishment to them. I'm not giving them cash and I'm not giving them, you know, a gift card to, you know, 21st Amendment Liquors. You know, I'm giving them actual sustenance. And I'll give you an analogy here that really helps me kind of justify what I do. Like, let's say you go into your workplace and you bring in a lot of goods for your coworkers, whether it be a snack or you want to treat them to maybe some bagels before breakfast, as I've done in the past. You know, if I can go out on a limb and give my coworkers food, you know, that they're employed and they have jobs, so they're able to feed themselves, hopefully. You know, I can also justify maybe giving a bagel to someone who, even though they might be, I don't really know the sincerity of their way of life, whether they're really homeless or they're really, if they're trying to manipulate the system, either way, it's an act of generosity and God looks on that and God will bless that action. I kind of think of it, it's like you have like a sandwich, you know, one of those Arby's sandwiches,
right?
And you dip it in on like on jus sauce. When we do something like that, it's like we're dipping the food in like the sauce of grace, and the grace is just dripping giving it to them, and we don't know where our act of charity, how far that'll go,
the ripple effect,
exactly. Yeah. And it's, I think by you doing that, you're doing a kind thing at its very essence to try and help someone. But you're also practicing discretion. You're not giving money. You're actually giving food. Like, I'll give clothing or whatever. It would be the same as if I gave, you know, a friend of mine who may make more money than me, I gave him a candy bar just because I'm being nice. There's an element of generosity there. Sure. That's at the very essence of it.
It seems to me that earlier when you were talking about this, that this ministry changed you.
Mm-hmm.
So whether maybe that was God reaching out to you and you were open to the possibilities. We say that a lot on this show, Jim. I'm thinking about that.
That the openness.
The openness. And I think most of our guests, I have to say, probably are. The single thread that runs through most all of them is their open hearts, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely said that this affected you and in a positive way, and so you continued. Mm-hmm. So
now you start. You talked, I think, mostly about so far about things that you've done mm-hmm. on a couple of occasions, and that sounds, you know, that's wonderful, certainly wonderful. But that sounds like a one person operation.
Oh yeah, let me clarify. Yes, I've been very blessed to have a great support network of friends. I have a good friend named Scott Goley who comes out and helps me. He's been behind this. Mike Ramke, Keith Echternaw, Kelly Cramsey, a lot of people who have been very generous with their time, talent, and treasure over the past 3 years. And basically how it works is I send out an alert on Facebook that's saying, hey, the next rollout, we call it, is, you know, this particular Thursday. Usually it's the second, third, or fourth Thursday. It's whatever is – I get an idea from our friends like how busy their schedule is, but – people all come together and they gather food and the clothing, and then we all kind of disperse out into the city. Lately, we've had enough people where we can have two groups. So one group will both start up and go up Illinois, and then one group will continue north and then cut over at like Washington Street, and then another group will go for north of Washington Street and then cut over, I forget which street's just north of there, but they'll take that street all the way to like Meridian and then go down under the bridge. So we've been able to be very systematic, and I've had the great support of about a core of 10 or 11 people who've been consistent and very helpful and make this operation a success.
Now, where does the food come from? We've been talking about where it goes, but where does it come from?
It comes from the people. I mean, they bring it themselves. I will send out in my emails that I send out, I have a list of items. I'll say, you know, we'd like some hot food, maybe some hot and readies, or sometimes someone will bring White Castle. Not necessarily the most nutritious, but
it's food.
But it's something different, yeah, for people, you know, at the very least. And a lot of people are generous to bring water bottles. You mentioned Father Nagel earlier. He's been very generous. He's donated some food and has a lot of water from the Garden Door Ministry that he runs at St. John's that he's been generous and given to us, so we use that. And lately, there's been a group from St. Monica's that's been coming, led by Jenny. I forget what her last name is, but Liz Escoffrey is big over there. Bill Escoffrey and all the other young adults over there, and they've brought hot food. Like I think someone bought some pot roast. Sometimes someone made an apple pie. So we've gotten really creative, and it's been through the generosity of other people.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Andrew Costello, he started Operation Leftover and basically gathers food and necessities and takes it downtown and gives it out. You know, what's interesting is we have interviewed in the past a couple churches, people who gathered in churches and bundled up bags and taken them down. And I won't mention the names because I know these people still do this from time to time, but they have gotten in a little bit of hot water because they've had to go to giving out prepared foods because they are operating under the guise of a church, or if you will, mm-hmm. or a charity.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't seem seem to have a problem with individuals, like you individuals gathering at someone's house, putting a pot roast together and taking it down. Mm-hmm. So basically you're saying that out of the generosity of your volunteers, you put together what you can food-wise. Now, winter is upon us, mm-hmm. Really. I mean, it's we kind of enjoyed a wonderful fall, but winter is upon us. And they have needs like gloves and hats and clothes and things like that. What do you do to people who have, like right now, I'm in the process of cleaning out my summer stuff, and I have getting out my gloves and hats and scarves, and I've got tons of gloves and hats and scarves, and I don't have any little peanuts at home anymore. So for our listeners who are listening and would like to help in some way, how do they get this stuff to you?
Well, basically, they can start by going to the Archdiocesan Young Adult page. I think it's IndyCatholic.com. I believe that's what it is. If you go on Google and type in like Arch Indy Young Adults, you'll get the webpage. My friends are going to hear it because I don't know it. I haven't memorized the webpage. But great people there, Katie Somm, Matt Faley, they have really gotten behind me with helping promote this through emails, through Flocknote, through helping create
Flocknote. That's a new one on me. I mean, I would Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
Flocknote's great. I think the gentleman is local. He may actually even live in Carmel. I'm not sure, but
Flocknote, I like that.
But it's really good. Yeah, it's I think you pay by like how many people you can send an email to, but it's a really great service.
So it's like a blast, an email blast.
Yeah, and it's really it's really uninvasive. I know that's not the word I'm trying to find, but it's not
uninvasive, unintrusive.
Unintrusive,
you, yeah,
yes.
Okay, so you said that you had a Facebook page. What is it?
Well, it's basically a group I created. We don't have a fan page yet. We're working on that. But if people go to the Arch Indy website and do the Young Adults and get a hold of Matt Faley or Katie Somm, they will direct that person to me, and then I will get in touch with them. That's the best way right now to get that. To get in contact with me, or you can email me at operationleftover@gmail.com. Again, operationleftover@gmail.com, and I will respond to you within 1 to 2 business days.
Okay, so we have a question. You said that you gather. Is it about once a month, or is it every couple
weeks? Yes, once a month.
So mm-hmm. once a month, and you gather up food and supplies and take it downtown, mm-hmm. right? Now, what are the obstacles that you have? I mean, so I imagine that you've grown to about 10 people, you say, faithful supporters. What obstacles are you running into?
Well, one of the obstacles that we're running into is, I think the political climate, I think, has changed a little bit in the city with regards to how the homeless are viewed by political leaders. I think lately we've had a lot of, we've been blessed to have a lot of great events in the city, including the Super Bowl, and I think... And even with like things like construction with the I-70, I-65 Interpass, some of the homeless people have been kind of pushed out.
Well, yeah, there was some displacement. That was all over the papers a few months
ago. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And so that's – downtown, I think there's still panhandlers, but it hasn't been as big as it was in the past just because I think there's still uncertainty about whether or not they can do it. If sometimes I've heard from some of the people who I've interacted with that they – you know, they have to be in so many feet of an establishment. Like I said, I'm unfamiliar with all the laws. I'm still trying to get information on that.
So are you trying to say that they're harder to find because the political political areas that they shouldn't be there, so they're harder for you to find?
Yeah, just basically the legislative things that are going on that are kind of unseen, I think is allowing some is discouraging some homeless people from being out because they're not sure whether or not they can do it. But I've heard a stat that there's over like between like the east and the west side, there's over like 1,500 homeless people and or children.
So
it's quite
a larger number than I would have imagined.
It's quite a lot. And CHIP, that Coalition for Homeless, they've got all that data there as well.
Yeah, they
so
do.
Our
they do.
Listeners can look that up and you know see those statistics.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Andrew Costello, Operation Leftover. We are really at just about at the end of our program. The time goes so quickly. It always does. Usually when I say that, my guest looks up and with like a deer in the headlights. You haven't done that, Andrew. Mm-hmm. We've got about a minute left, minute and a half. What have we not covered that we should have covered?
One thing I do want to mention, another important element of this outreach event is we provide the fellowship, so we engage with people and we remember them. And we tried to build rapport and a friendship and encourage them. And the other aspect of it is we provide the resource information. Once again, Katie Somm and Matt Failey have helped me create a brochure that we give to people, and they can that can connect them to the food pantries, the clothing pantries, to help them get the assistance they need, sometimes Catholic Charities or the Xavier Center downtown. And then another important thing is that, you know, we follow up with these people. I hand out my business card with my email, and I've helped about seven or eight people on a personal level to try to get them to where they need to be. And so we go out and we actually interact with people, and we really work at building a rapport, and follow up is an important element of our
I'm glad to hear that, because it's not just the food, which is of course needed, and the gloves, but you are actually connecting with them, and you are giving them resources, and you know it's all about the human experience and the connection that we make with people that makes a difference.
Do you need volunteers to help with certain aspects of the program?
Yes, I mean whoever wants to come, like I said, operationleftover@gmail.com. That's probably the most direct way to get a hold of me, or go to the Archdiocesan website and look for the young adult page, and they'll connect you to me. But yeah, the more volunteers who can provide, you know, their fellowship and their support. It's life-changing. It's some of the most enriching work that I've ever done, and I've seen miracles happen in the people's lives that we've touched.
Andrew Costello, Operation Leftover, thank you so much for being our guest, and may the Lord's peace be with you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. Lord's peace be with you.